news, information, opinions, history, and most importantly, always real. This is Rant EM Radio.
And who's going to join us next?
Bob is going to be Douglas Baker. Come on down! You're the next contestant on the Prize and Gray.
Douglas, I sure hope you're in a good mood today.
I'm grateful, Bob.
What does it say there? Big, mean, and ugly.
That's the people that like me.
What does it say on your bag?
My name, Ox.
Ox Baker. Ox Baker.
Yes, sir.
Ox, what do you do?
I'm a professional wrestler, sir.
And you've probably thrown countless guys out of the ring.
Ooh, into a... I beat them up.
I bet.
Especially if I don't win.
That's what I'm thinking. That's... Ox, if you don't win, I want you to pick up the producer and throw him clear through the wall. Okay?
Yes, sir.
All right, Ox, then we'll go on. Here comes the next item up for bids, right there.
It's a new wall clock. This Hamilton Railroad regulator-style clock is fashioned from solid oak, features an 8-day key wind with Westminster chimes. Truly a conversation piece from the Hamilton Watch Company.
And Douglas, you get to bid on it first.
$215.
$215 to Valerie.
I'll say $495.
$495, and we want to hear from Donna.
$150.
How about it, Rosalie?
$400.
$400. The actual retail price is $350. And Ox is the winner. Ox is the winner. Yes, Ox.
Now the best two-looking men in the world are on this stage right now.
You took the words right out of my mouth, Ox. Now, Ox, I want to give you all of these prizes. I really do.
A range, a wicker desk and chair, a stereo, and a Franklin fireplace. First, this early American-style Franklin fireplace with energy-saving glass doors makes a beautiful addition to any decor. It's made of solid cast iron by Atlanta Stoveworks. Second is a range. A Tappan self-cleaning convection air gas range designed to save energy. Featuring automatic pilotless ignition, automatic digital clock to start and stop the oven automatically from Tappan. Next, a wicker desk and chair. From Aaron Brothers Art March, a handmade desk and chair in white wicker. Be surrounded by beautiful furniture while you balance your budget and splendor with the help of Aaron Brothers Art March. And finally, a stereo. A pilot audio tower system with AM/FM stereo tuner, integrated amplifier, record changer, cassette recorder, plus speakers. Pilot, a division of Morse Electro Products Corporation. And there they are, Bob.
They are indeed. Now, Ox, before we go on here, have you ever wrestled in Springfield, Missouri?
Yes, I have. I've been there many times.
At the Shrine Mosque?
Yes, sir. I've been there.
Do you know that when I was in Drury College, I ran the concessions at the Shrine Mosque when they had the wrestling matches there?
That's very good. I might have seen you there when I was younger.
Well, Douglas, I'll bet I was there before you were there. I'm not so sure. I'm not. Where are you from?
I'm from Sedalia, Missouri myself.
Sedalia?
Yes. Well, I have a nice little farm there.
I know the country, and it is beautiful farm country. Let's have those prices out here, please. I want my fellow Missourian to win all four of them.
There.
Yeah, now keep your mind on the game here, Ox. Now, you have to make a better hand for yourself than you leave for the house to win all four prizes, and you do it with the numbers in the prices. Now, which prize do you want to choose first, and we'll check the price?
One of them or two of them?
Take one, and then we'll go on to the next
one. The range to start with.
The range to start with. How much is it? Great. You got a pair of nines from there. Right. Now, choose another
one. The stereo.
How much is the stereo? Ox, you have a pair of nines and a pair of zeros. Now, you can pass the nines and the zeros down to the house and make your hand from the fireplace and the desk, or you can keep the nines and the zeros.
I'm going to pass it.
You're going to pass them down. Okay, let's hope he gets three of a kind. How much is the fireplace? $400. If there's a zero in the price of that desk, you're a winner. How much is the desk? You're a winner. Rosalie, it's your spin, and go ahead, spin the wheel hard. Ox just paid me a high compliment. He said that was the only putt he's ever seen me miss. Maybe that means you don't watch the show as much as you should, Ox, because I've missed others. You have 80 cents. If you go over a dollar total, you're out of the game.
I stay.
You stay. Take your place right over there. Ox, you have to beat 80 cents. Go ahead. But I've kept track recently. Go ahead and spin it. How many putts? Because you'd be surprised how much mail I get. People say, you push it, you're pulling it, you're looking at the girl instead of the ball. Now you have nine. Nope, one nickel. Spin it again, Ox. Spin it again. Try to beat 80 cents. You have 5 cents. You're trying to beat 80 cents. And Ox, what you get in this spin will be added to that nickel. Well, 85. Nope, 40 cents total. But you've won a lot of prizes.
Thank you,
I hope
Bill.
You had fun. Thank you, Ox. Come on, Harriet.
I will rise from the swamp where they dumped my private plane. I'll be clutching a life preserver in my teeth, and I will find the highway, and I will flag down a truck. Worry lines on my forehead, blank stare underneath. And when I come back to town, I'm gonna cast my burden down, a little worse for wear, practically walking on air. Inside to the guts of the building where my enemies hide in the dark like roaches, and I will signal the camera crew, and everyone will do what he's been trained how to do, sweat dripping from my face as my moment approaches. Click your heels, count to three. I bet you never expected me a little worse for wear. Practically walking on air.
Shining Wizards Network proudly presents the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast with your hosts, the Impact Player, Phil Rea, and Dave Mega Powers.
Ladies, gentlemen, and assorted lowlifes, your new recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment broadcasting from the current to the way back. We are the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. As always, your gracious host, the Blue Collar Scholar himself, the Impact Player, Mr. Phil Rea. And joining me for 2 out of 3 weeks is my brethren, my Rant EM Radio brethren, my homeboy, my brother from another mother, filling in for the Mega Powers, Mr. Tony C. How are you, Tony?
I'm doing great. Hey, yo.
Hey, yo. I love when he does that. All right, kids. Mega Powers again taking the night off. Hopefully nothing illegal. We know how Mega Powers gets down. Mega Powers, I tell you. But he'll be back next week.
He's probably busy punking some British punk.
Yeah, possibly. Possibly. That or he's recycling that body bag again that I lent him.
That's what we do.
Yeah, apparently that's what we do. Ladies and gentlemen, we are live. Rant Entertainment Media, rantemradio.com is the spot. We are, as always, a Shining Wizards Network production. How you been, brother?
I'm doing okay, man. I'm on the way back from a actual high school football game. So I went to go watch one of my little kids, one of the young men I'm mentoring, play tonight. So I'm on the way back home. So
now, when you say mentor, are you like a big brother, or are you actually mentoring him in the sport of football, or both?
Both.
Okay, both. That's good. Yeah. That's cool. You're a big brother, man. I had it's funny because I was kind of a big brother until I really became a big brother. My mom's current husband, she's married a few times. My mom's current husband, his youngest son is now in his early 20s, and he's a Marine. He's a, you know, now he's a veteran, and now he's a dad. And I kind of like, I had an influence on him growing up, even before my mom and his dad were like an item. He was friends of the family, you know what I'm saying? So I kind of like mentored him a little bit, my little brother Mikey. So when he became my brother, it was like a big deal. So, you know, I kind of know what you're saying. Except he didn't play football. He played soccer. And that wasn't a big – I mean, I played, you know, but it is what it is. You know,
just try to coach him up. And, you know, he's only a freshman. So his ceiling is like, you know, real high. And he's real good. He had like 3 touchdowns in the first half already.
That's awesome.
So,
that's awesome.
Yeah.
I know high school sports is big where you are. High school sports is not as big in New York in the city as it is in the state. Right over the bridge in New Jersey, though, it's everything. So I mean,
Jersey has Don Bosco Prep, man.
Yeah, they got like the coup de grace of high school football.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, man. My high school did not have a football team, ironically.
Really?
Yeah, you know what happened? When I became a freshman, they started building a brand new field, like a track and field, like a multi-field, you know, with the turf and everything. Uh-huh. And I was, at the time, it was the number 2 worst high school in New York City.
Oh, man.
So, yeah, so besides fighting for your clothes every day, getting in there, because they were busting all the kids from the hood, you know, they built this field, and Dinkins became the mayor. So the city's in a transition. Dinkins is not very well liked, and it's like a big thing now. I was playing hockey and football and softball in my off time. I was pretty, you know, I was a pretty big kid. I played a lot of sports, and I figured, you know what? They kept saying we'll have the money for the insurance for football. We'll have the money because they had a football team back in the 70s and 80s. Matter of fact, Taz is a graduate of my high school. He graduated 10 years before me, and he played on a football team. But that's when the field was all, you know, broken glass and, you know,
and
you know, weeds, you know?
Yeah.
So they get this field and no football team. So the gym teacher decides he's going to make a flag football team, which was, whatever. Yeah, guys, I'm sorry if I'm a little nasally. I'm battling a cold. But the thing was, too, so now, you know, we had this flag football shit, and then, like, as a sophomore, I figured, you know what? They had baseball tryouts. I'll try out for the baseball team. This is hysterical. So at the time, I was in a work study program for juvenile delinquents, which means you're in this program.
You look like a troublemaker.
Yeah, I was a troublemaker. But, you know, ironically, I had good grades, even though I had a terrible attitude. I had like a B+ average. I just didn't like people, you know. So anyway, I was I tried out for the baseball team, and the work study program, you know, you had to go to a certain amount of classes, and if you didn't cut and you went, they let you work to get a part-time job. So my part-time job was in a sporting goods store, ironically. So now I'm getting all my fresh hats, I'm getting my jerseys, I'm getting my T-shirts, and I saved up and got myself a catcher's mitt. Now, I'm left-handed. If you guys don't know me, I'm left-handed, I'm a southpaw. So now I catch with my right hand. So I'm a 260-pound sophomore, and I'm catching, and the gym teacher was amazed because I had the body, I had the speed, I had the size. So now I'm catching. I'm batting like four and change. I'm trying out for junior varsity, and Dinkins cuts the Board of Ed budget. So the second to last day before the cuts, there's a big notice on the bulletin board that the JV squad has been cut. Now I'm batting like four and change. I was catching kids that were getting drafted by. I was catching seniors, Tony, that were getting. The one kid, Marcus Rodriguez, he went to Miami. He went to the Hurricanes. One kid went to Ohio State. I caught like elite pitching. We had an awesome We had an awesome varsity baseball team. They won all city and everything. So I was pissed. I sent Matt Dinkins a letter. Apparently, you know, they frown upon. Yeah, pretty much. They frown upon language because we got a little threatening letter from the mayor's office. My mom was not happy with me. But, God. Yeah, man, I was tight. But, you know, football is a big thing in New York State. New York City, not so much. It's very competitive in New York City, though. My high school had every kind of team, though. We had a golf team. We had a handball team. We had a bowling team that I was an alternate on because I needed to get I needed an extra gym class. But but I couldn't bowl. But so I needed an alternative, and I was like, you know what? If I take this class and I pass it, I don't have to fucking go to gym next year. I'm like, all right, that's fine, you know. But yeah, man, I mean, it was great, you know. So anyway, that's my story. I'm sticking with it. I did miss the rant last night because I was just multitasking last night on the way home trying to get the World Series on the radio. There was a good hockey game on, and I just had a terrible day, so I didn't get to tune in like I wanted to. I did chime in for like 10 minutes. I missed a whole bunch of stuff. So if we cover anything news-wise that you covered already last night, I apologize. I just didn't have
all right, man. It's never too much news.
Well, the thing is, too, you know, like Mega Powers doesn't watch all the current stuff. So, like, you know, either I fill him in or he just doesn't care. You know what I'm saying? I'll just chime you in for the second part of the show. You know what I'm saying?
I watch a little bit of it. I flip between Monday Night Football and, you know, but.
How bad is what? Go ahead. I'm sorry. I cut you off.
You're going to say how bad is what?
How bad is Monday Night Football this year? Maybe two good games out of the half? It's already half the season.
Terrible
games.
And Houston pissed it down the leg, so.
Yeah.
But WWE, I don't know how long they're going to be able to keep this farce up because it's a lot of options on Monday night now, man.
I got to tell you, all my stuff is DVR'd. I watch Sons of Anarchy. I watch Boardwalk Empire, which is my favorite show on television in the last 4 years. I watch Arrow. And now I watch The Flash.
Yeah, The Flash.
So, like, all this stuff I just watch on DVR, and I keep it. You know what I'm saying? So, same thing with Raw and SmackDown. My son and I do watch TNA, but I just keep it all on DVR because I don't, you know, there's so much stuff going on. By the time I get home at 10 o'clock at night. So, I just want to go to bed, you know what I'm saying? So, at that
recharge
point.
Recharge the batteries.
Yeah, recharge the batteries. So, now I catch up. Like, this morning, this is my day off. So, I wake up. First thing I do is I get myself a bathroom break. I lay on the bed. I put Maury on for 10 minutes. And that's just
find out who's not the father.
Yeah, that, and I remind myself how great I have it. Because these idiots come on TV and they make total asses of themselves.
Exactly.
So for me, it's like I'm very blessed.
She don't even got my nose, Maury. She don't even got my nose.
And like these chicks are like, they come out of their face. And you know, listen, I'm not sticking up for the dudes because these dudes are deadbeats. Don't get me wrong. You know what I'm saying? These dudes, come on, Tony. You know what I'm talking about, right?
I know, man.
Giants fan wants to know, do I watch Gotham? No, I have them all on DVR. I have not watched Gotham yet, but I will watch Gotham, and I'll give you guys a review when I watch it. But anyway, so now, this one chick, like, you know, she's telling Maury, like, I know he does me dirty. You know, I know that, you know, he does all this other stuff and like, but you know, like she knows this guy's an idiot, but yet she'll put herself out there and go just to be on television, just to blow this guy's spot up. Like, I don't get people like that, man. I like, and these dudes are like, and they bring that cousin. Everybody has a cousin. My cousin, my cousin, my cousin, no, my cousin.
I told him not to be with her.
It's like these dudes have these cousins, and every crew's got one, apparently. If my cousin brought me on TV, I would kick the shit out of him, man. You kidding me?
Aren't you glad that those shows weren't around? Well, I'm mad that those shows like Maury and Jerry weren't around back in the day when they had real issues. Like,
yeah,
you were talking about Ike Turner. What if Ike Turner was on they brought Ike out on Maury.
Yeah. Can you imagine if Tina Turner had Twitter back in the day? Or can you imagine if who was the other dude that – a lot of dudes – like, dude, I don't understand these guys. Listen, I'm 300 – I used to be 500 pounds, Tony. And I'm 300 and change now, man. I'm a big dude. If, like, the only time I ever rose my hands to a woman was when I was fighting my little sisters back and we were kids, you know, like, you know, exactly. But sibling fights. But I would never raise my hand to a woman. Like, I don't understand. Like, I don't get that. I don't get it, man. I don't get the, I don't know, man. I don't get the I mean, once, listen, do girls deserve a punch in the face once in a while? Absolutely. Back slap at the back of the head? Absolutely. But you don't do it. You know what I'm saying? Morally, it's not the thing. You know what I'm saying?
Or, Wade Ray Rice threw that right hand, man. I want him. They need to try to get him in the ring.
Dude, hockey players now are getting suspended. I know one of my favorite players of all time, football, Warren Moon, was one of my idols growing up.
Yeah, he's a wife beater.
That dude used to smack that dude used to smack his wife on a regular.
And then go out and throw four touchdowns.
And then go win Grey Cups in Canada. By the way, speaking of Canada, yeah. Shout out to everybody in the chat room. I know my buddy Matt's in there. Cash Cow's in there. We got Ziggy's in there. A bunch of heads are in there. Let me play Matt's clip for him.
Dead or alive, you are coming with me.
Thank you. But you know, I don't. Again, man, I don't promote that shit, man. Hold on a second.
Of course not.
Yeah. You know, I don't promote that shit. I can't. I never got it. You know, my sister was in an abusive relationship, and it got to the point where people had to get involved, if you know what I'm talking about. And I was like,
oh, yeah.
I was like, man, you ain't, I don't care how much you got in clout and people, man. You ain't doing that to family.
Oh, of course.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I took care of that. I took care of it. Just put it that way. I don't want to.
You put out the disclaimer on Saturday anyway, so
yeah, good. We don't condone. I mean, we joked about that, and I thought it was. Listen, I heard the playback the other day. Let me tell you, classic stuff. I mean, Lee is still talking about it up until this afternoon. Shout out to Lee, by the way, from Baltimore.
Yes, sir.
That's our boy. But listen, we don't condone none of that shit. The movie was funny. You know, the t-shirt, Tony, I got to send you the clip, my buddy Matt.
I got it.
You okay? Okay.
Yeah, Matt sent it to me. Oh my God.
I don't know if it's in it.
You need to get those.
I could put it up on the Pro Wrestling Tee site. I don't know how. Here's the thing. I'm having a moral issue with it. I love the shirt. Matt gets full credit for it. We'll get Matt. If I do decide to put it out there, it'll be $20 going Pro Wrestling.
It was your idea.
I know it was my idea. My thing is, though, to put it on, to sell it. I don't know if it's like, I don't know if it's, okay. if it's right to sell it, man. I think it's funny, you know.
It's a freaking gimmick.
I know it's a gimmick. I don't want to condone
you're not
violence.
Condoning it.
Then I'm gonna probably put it. I'll probably put it up there.
You rule with iron fist.
And I'm gonna make commercial spots for it too.
Damn right. You know, the fans are clamoring for Ike, Dusty, Tony Montana three-way.
All right, that's going to have to happen.
At Mania.
Yeah, at Mania. We'll do it for the Rumble or something. That's got to be like a special show. We can't do it on here.
Yeah. You know, oh, yeah.
Double A is going to have to give us some extra airtime for that.
Oh, yeah. So We're going to have a contract signing. Y'all got to keep your eyes open.
Speaking
in,
of,
in your ears.
Speaking of contract signing, we have a kick-ass throwback for everybody tonight.
Oh, my God.
Man, it's one of my favorite, favorite things of all time to talk about. But before we did go into that, we have a shit ton of news to get into. If you guys caught us early, about 5 to 8 minutes early, I played an Ox Baker tribute. Ox Baker passed away yesterday, 80 years old. Ox was a legend in professional wrestling. I was in the same room with him 3 times. Never got to say hello to him. One of the nicest guys in the world, apparently. And Ox was one of those guys, not very good in the ring, but he had a ring presence about him, and he had the heart punch, which was a gimmick that Stan Stasiak did. Apparently, a guy died after he fought Ox Baker, and he didn't die because of the heart punch.
I was gonna ask you that.
No, but Ox, of course, played it up like he did, and he looked the part. He was one of the meanest looking heels on the planet. The mustache, the bald head, the dude was tall. He was big, massive. Didn't do a lot of spots in the ring except for the heart punch. But the guy was multifaceted, though. He was on. I played a clip before. He was on The Price is Right in 1981. He was Slag in the movie Escape from New York, and he wrestled for a bunch of promotions. So, and there was an Ox Baker tribute song to him, some bandit. So I just dedicated that to him, and put that on the feed for everybody to listen to, and you'll get it on a download. So, rest in peace, Ox Baker.
Excellent.
Yeah, if you guys are going to the Throwbacks main page on Facebook. I started adding the birthdays and some clips just to get some action on that page. If you get a chance, go to the Facebook page and like that, Turnbuckle Throwbacks, facebook.com/Turnbuckle Throwbacks. Of course, join the group that we're all in that we constantly leave crazy shit on, especially us, because we're not right. None of us are right, man. None of us are right.
After Saturday night, yeah.
Nah, I can't. Dude, I was up till – I had so much energy after that, man. I was up till 3 o'clock in the morning. I called my father-in-law. I called the next day. I was like, Pop, because I had to do some editing for that show I was doing, that gig I did before I came on that night. So I was in bed, and I did the editing, the rough draft, and the next day I woke up by 10 o'clock, and my son's sitting there going, why you slept in, man? You tired? I'm like, yeah, I'm tired. I was up all night.
Kept that going all night long,
dude, that
man.
Was crazy shit. Thank you again to Will and Double A for letting me be totally out of line. And I'm glad Will posted something today. He got his computer. He got his stuff together. So we'll keep Mr. Morgan in our prayers. He's going through some stuff right now.
Oh,
with his family.
Yeah.
So all right. So Ox Baker, rest in peace. I did get the Y2J book. I don't know if you guys saw the Facebook pictures. My wife and my son went to the signing. I want to give a shout out to my homegirl Kelly, my neighbor down the block. She's a manager at the local Barnes & Noble, and she stuck my wife and Mikey to the front line.
Oh, the freaking line hoppers.
Right, yeah, she got him there early, got him on the line, didn't have to go with the nonsense. And Chris signed the book. He was very cordial to my family, took a picture with Mikey, took 2 pictures with Mikey, gave him a high five. And the book, I didn't get to read it yet, but the forward, any of my metalheads that listen to the show, any of my metalhead fans, Zach Wild, formerly of Ozzy Osbourne and the frontman for Black Label Society, one of the greatest guitar players right now in the last decade, maybe decade and a half, he does the foreword to the book. The book looks really cool. It's called The Best in the World at What I Have No Idea. So this is Chris's, I think, third book, man. And I got to tell you, man, I can't wait to read it. So I like reading the wrestling books. I really do. I dig that. I like
getting the behind the scenes look.
Yeah,
info.
Yeah. Like I gotta tell you, have you read Flair's book?
I haven't read it. I heard about it.
I should really. Maybe I should send it out to you, man. You would love this book. The book. I mean, yeah. When the wrestlers write stuff, they tend to, obviously most of it is a shoot. So
yeah.
The stuff that you like, the dirt, and like the stuff with him and Foley, and then he does a whole thing on Ricky Steamboat. So, I mean, the book is good. I read his book. I should send it to you, actually. Maybe I'll do that in the next couple of weeks. And then there's a bunch of books that I have. I have Mick Foley's first book. I have Austin's book. Well, those books were okay.
That would be great.
Yeah, but the Ric Flair book, you would definitely dig that book. It's one of those things where you can't put it down because you're such a fan. You know, you're such a fan of, the character that even Hogan's last book I got, and Hogan's last book was amazing. I got really? It like fourth. Yeah, the last book he read before he got the divorce.
Is absolutely
amazing. Absolutely amazing. I have that book. I have the Flair book. But yeah, I mean, you're fans of the characters, and then you know they go into stuff that you normally don't get. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
All right. So we got that. Let me check my checklist off here. Ike World Order, Ox Baker. Y2J. Ah, here we go. I got some news here. Thank God I take notes. We all know who Hugo Savinovich was. He was the ringside guy, the Spanish announce table guy for WWE for so many years. Hugo now works backstage for the AAA promotion. He recently told KGB Radio, not the KGB in Russia, KGB Radio, that Rey Mysterio is definitely, in fact, done with WWE. And when his contract's up, he's going back to AAA. What do you think about that?
He has to cash those checks. Because you know he's still getting paid. And can't they extend him or something?
I mean, if it's like one of those baseball, if one of those sports contracts, if there's an option and they pick up the option, then possibly. But I don't think, if he's not cashing the checks, and if he's not... you know, if he's not going to work and he's going to sit home, cut him loose, cut your ties. The problem is, though, they still make money off of his merch.
Off the merch, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So the kids buy the masks and the kids buy the shirts and the armbands and the other shit. So, I mean, it's...
That's what I'm saying.
Right,
so
yeah.
That's what made me think they would extend him.
Yeah, man. So, you know, that's an issue. What do you think about him going at 40 years old, going to AAA? Do you think he'll have some kind of run there or just be like he'll work with the
guy? I think he'll be going to put people over. Like 40 years old, Rey Mysterio, he can't, you know, the only thing he can do is a West 619.
Yeah,
you got to work.
What's he going to be like, a Mexican Chris Jericho? He'll come back, put guys over, and that's it?
Exactly. Then you got to worry about his knees going out.
I don't get it.
It was reconstructed knees.
I don't understand. Listen, I'm a fan of Rey Mysterio. I don't want to really crap on him. I'm just saying, like, I think that, you know, at 40 years old, I don't think he'll have that kind of run. If he was still healthy, possibly, you know, because luchadors wrestle up into their 50s, some of those guys.
Oh, yeah.
I know, like, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Go ahead, man.
No, I'm just going to say, you know, Rey Mysterio hasn't been right ever since he didn't get his rematch after he lost to John Cena. But, you know,
yeah,
well, that's neither here nor there.
As the current,
I just like to throw that
out. That's none of my business, you know.
they old Rey that.
I was a big Mysterio fan. You know, but those guys go into their 50s. I know, like, the Vianos, there's like seven of them. And, like, I know four of them are, like, 106 years old.
You know? Exactly.
Tony, have you seen some of those guys? Remember when in WCW they would bring those Vianos out? Like, come on, dude. They had to be geriatric, ancient guys.
And
back
they were getting cruiserweight title shots.
Yeah. Yeah. La Parca. I love La Parca. I love Lucha. I'm a big fan of Lucha. And we'll stick with Lucha. Next week, October 29th. Lucha Underground will debut on the El Rey Network. Matt Stryker and Vampiro are going to be calling the action.
Vampiro.
Yeah, Vampiro, who's now like he works with El Rey. He teaches like Israeli fighting tactics. He's like he's a guardian angel. That guy is just I don't know. But anyway.
Between him and Sting, him and the Black Scorpion, I don't know who wanted to kill Sting worse. Because you remember he really wanted to kill Sting.
Yeah.
Yep.
It wouldn't be right. It wouldn't be a throwbacks episode without us mentioning the Black Scorpion because it's Black Scorpion.
Of course.
Of course. It's like, you know, a rant without picking on Rage is like, you know. You know.
No, Rage sets itself up for those.
Well, yeah, we're not gonna beat a dead horse, Tony C.
Exactly.
Come on now.
Exactly.
So the Lucha Underground will debut next week on the El Rey Network. Phil does not have the El Rey Network unless it's hidden on Fios on my box, and I can't find it. I looked for it for 2 hours today. I cannot find it, so I'm going to have to download the episodes. John Morrison's on the promotion as Johnny Mundo. He plays one of the...
Really?
Yeah, you know, listen, I like the concept. They have a guy who, on film, he owns the company. He's got a heel team and then the face team. Chavo Guerrero's there. Conan's a trainer for some guy named Prince Puma. They got a couple of chicks. It's got a nice feel to it. It's got the good guy, bad guy thing. It's got, you know, the heel. I'm just a heel face, good guy, bad guy, same thing. But they have like that. Yeah. That I like it. I like what they have. Go onto their website. Go to their Facebook page. Check it out. I'm excited. It's just another avenue of wrestling to take, you know, to check out. So,
okay.
So hopefully I'll get a download of it or whatever it is. El Rey is Robert Rodriguez's TV company. Okay, I'll take your word for it, damn maniac, Matt. All right, what else? Another news I have here. Okay, I don't have a lot of news. We can just preview Hell in a Cell real quick, and then we'll take Facebook questions, and then we'll get into our break. You know what I'm saying? And then we'll
give sir.
Tony and I have a kick-ass throw back for you. When I sent Tony the clip, I said, listen, we're going to do this next week. He's like, I'm all about it. I was like, this is great, because...
yes, sir.
And this will set up my next episode with Mega Powers, and we'll get into that later on. But let's get into some WWE news. Hell in a Cell, obviously, this Sunday. Mega Powers actually will be here for the event, so you could check us out along with Tony C, Double A, who I guess Surfer, whoever else calls in for the pre-show, the Hell in a Cell pre-show live on the Rant at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So check that out. It's always nice to have Mega Powers in studio, and we'll have the Black Hammer and White Lightning returning to the airwaves together, some sort, I guess.
Oh yeah.
So, all right. So let's get into the matches.
Get ready, you guys.
Yeah. All right. So
get ready.
Hell in a Cell match: John Cena versus Randy Orton. Winner gets a WWE World Title shot against Brock Lesnar.
Go ahead and say it, Phil. Zero.
Yeah. I mean, you know what? As much as I want to see Randy Orton fight Brock Lesnar, it just doesn't seem right, I guess. Or is that just me? I don't know.
It'll be something different. They've never wrestled.
No. And maybe unless... So. Yeah, so I mean, that'd be cool. But we know Super Cena's probably going to get, you know...
Right. Yep.
In a match that doesn't make no sense, Rusev is fighting Big Show. I guess they're going to keep with storyline. I like Rusev on this. Tony, you like Rusev?
Yeah, poor giant.
Big Show's 40 years old, 40-something years old. Let's get these old conjures off TV. Let's push. let's come on now. Let's get it going. If I was on TV and 40 years old, I am 40. Get me off TV. I'm not relevant no more. You're not. You get off TV. You know.
Jacob, good night.
Divas Championship match: AJ Lee versus Paige. I don't see Paige winning a belt yet again. I think AJ Lee will retain.
Me too.
All right. But that'll be like the Phil and Mega Powers get a snack break. So I really can care less.
I'm gonna have
what's that?
My bad.
No, go ahead, man.
I'm gonna have a snack break at the end of the night if that Orton Cena match closes the show.
I don't think that'll close. You know what? That may not close the show. It would be cool.
I'm
hoping not either. But you know, if they book it right, I'll be okay. U.S. title match: Sheamus versus The Miz. You know, Miz won two consecutive
weeks.
Yeah, so I don't know. Maybe does he win? Does Sheamus get retained? The title doesn't mean anything anymore anyway. So
exactly.
So it really doesn't matter at this point. But I guess I'll take The Miz for the win. And I guess to give him a belt and put Sheamus somewhere else because he's useless right now. This is another awful match. Loser must become the winner's personal assistant. Nikki Bella versus Brie Bella. I don't see the face winning this just because it just doesn't seem right. But anything. And I guess, you know, I'll take Nikki Bella for the win.
I see them doing Nikki winning, and then they do a elimination style Divas match at Survivor Series,
which might not be. That'll be a nice follow through
filler.
Yeah, that'll be a nice filler. I may not get up for a snack during that match if that happens. And then this is what should be the main event: Dean Ambrose versus Seth Rollins. I don't see Ambrose winning. I think Rollins needs that momentum with the, I guess, just for, to keep the storyline going. I don't know.
I can see a good old-fashioned no contest.
In a cage, though?
With the Kane getting involved, and they just throw the match out.
Oh, please, with Kane, get him off TV already. Kane will actually be on our buddy Uncle Eddie's show next week on Ham Radio. So next Tuesday morning, check that out. I'll plug Uncle Eddie's show like I always do at the end of the day. But, Kane's actually calling into Eddie's show next week. I just found out yesterday, so I want to listen to that.
He's going to have Jacob Goodnight on his show.
Yeah, Jacob Goodnight. See No Evil 2 is out, huh?
Yep.
Yeah, you know what? I got to be honest with you. I took a girl on a date to watch that movie. The first one.
The first one?
Yeah, it wasn't too terrible. If you're a horror movie person, I really wasn't. I just wanted to scare the shit out of her so I can get laid, and it worked. But, yeah, I mean, it worked. I scared the shit out of her. She got all mad, and then she got happy because I coddled her, and then I motherfucked her for, like, the next 7 hours after that. But it was fine. I mean, you know. But I thought the movie was good. I dug the movie. That's actually the best work he's done in 4 or 5 years, you know?
Yeah.
Tag team title match, the Usos versus the Dust Brothers. This kind of lost momentum for me after breaking the Wyatts up. There's the only good two tag teams in the Fed now. They got to start bringing up some new tag teams. I'll take the Dust Brothers for the retaining of the copper penny belts.
The copper, yeah, they should keep them.
Yeah, although I like Goldust's work. I think Goldust is better now than when he was when he had the IC title. He's leaner, he's a bit older, but he can go, you know. I dig that, you know. I like seeing these guys work. I'm a fan of the Usos, too. I like the teams. I just wish they were more.
They both can go.
Yeah, I wish there were more of them, you know what I'm saying? I just wish there were more tag teams. And that's pretty much it right now, unless they add something else. I'm not sure. We're 3 days away from the big show, so... No pun intended. So, no pun intended. All right.
And I think Mark Henry may interfere in that match with the Big Show, too.
Yeah, you know, you mentioned that this might be adding up to a Mark Henry-Big Show feud.
Yeah.
So, you mentioned that last week, I believe. And I agreed with you. I don't know. But do we really care at this point? I mean, I like Mark
Henry. The feuds that are coming up, like, for Survivor Series are piss poor. You got Henry and Big Show and Randy Orton and Seth Rollins. Zero, as you say, fucks given.
Yeah, zero fucks for given. That. Right, zero fucks given. That's right.
For that.
That's right. You're absolutely right, sir. Here's the thing. This is a perfect opportunity, and I'm hoping you agree with me. This is a perfect opportunity to take all these insignificant feuds and have a traditional Survivor Series card.
Yep.
You know, you can have Mark. Exactly. You can have Mark Henry, captain a team, or Rusev captain a team, Big Show captain a team, the Usos captain a team. The Dust Brothers captain a team. The corporation, whatever the hell they're called. What are they called? The corporation.
Authority.
The authority. Cena, Ambrose. You can package all these guys. Everybody who's, even guys who are not working regularly, get them in there. Listen, this is what it needs. This, you know, it needs a shot in the ass. Seriously. This, you know. The brand needs a shot in the ass. And you can do this now without compromising any of the beliefs that they've been running with. You could still stay PG. You could still stay within the realm of safeness in terms of Cena and all the other shit going on. And you have the NXT factor. Bring those guys in for a traditional Survivor Series match. You got a shit ton of guys down there that can actually work.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It makes sense. It makes perfect sense, Tony C.
And it keeps the focus off Brock not being there.
Yeah. Because again, not on TV.
Well, I read that he's not due back until the Slammies on December the 8th.
Which means that would put him about a month removed. When is the Rumble? When is the
January? Rumble? End of January.
End of January. Probably. So now you put him in December 8th. And I said that. Didn't I say that on Saturday? That if they bring him back before the Rumble, it wouldn't be too bad. But at least.
But then you got TLC in December, though.
Yeah. But, well, then he's got to defend the belt.
Yeah.
Are they going to hold that title match? Whoever wins Cena and Orton, are they going to hold out until January for that? No. Brock will probably have two more appearances. He'll probably be at TLC. He may be on Raw the night after. And then he'll be at the Rumble.
So December 8th.
December 8th. So you're looking at three appearances.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That sounds about right. So we'll probably get Orton and Brock at Royal Rumble.
Possibly. And the way things are going, they may go Orton as a face.
Oh yeah.
And Orton's promo skills are terrible, but he can work. So I'm not. You know what Orton needs? He needs a mouthpiece.
Yep.
He needs a good mouthpiece. A lot of guys need a good mouthpiece because they can't talk for shit.
You need to become a Heyman guy.
Yeah. That, you know what? That wouldn't be a bad idea. You know, Paulie always has a hidden agenda.
Yep.
So if he doesn't turn face, make him a Paul Heyman guy. Or have Heyman turn on Brock.
I'm tired of him turning on Brock Lesnar.
You know what though?
Every time.
how about Paulie turning on Brock Lesnar? Because Brock's out of control. Let's say that the next three appearances, Brock loses his mind. He beats up officials. He beats up Stephanie. He beats up a bunch of people. Let's say just hypothetically, he beats up people, and Paulie can't control him. You know what I'm saying? Like that'd be cool.
Yeah. Just
do something like that. You know. So I don't know.
But then you turn Heyman face.
Yeah, and. Listen, Paul Heyman can do anything.
That's true.
He could do anything, Tony. He could be a heel. He could be a face. He could be a referee. He could be
announcer.
Right. He could ring announce. He could sell concessions. Yeah. He's awesome. You know,
and print money.
Right.
You're right.
Yeah. Printing money is a term that we used to use back in the day for guys who drew. And as much as people hate Cena. And shit on Cena, we're all guilty. Let's be honest, he's the only guy who draws. Except for CM Punk had a flash in the pants of drawing when he was active. Think about the last decade, Tony. Who else draws money? Nobody. In the last 10 years, I mean, Rey Mysterio aside, but money, I'm talking like money. I'm talking like
Merch, matches,
pay-per-view, everything. Matches, everything, it's been Cena. So, you know, there's a reason why they won't turn him possibly. I mean, you never know. But getting back to the Survivor Series thing would be fresh to death.
It'll be something different.
A shot, it wouldn't be like a big deal. You come out and like, listen, all the matches are traditional Survivor Series matches. Maybe one title match. Yeah. You could do 4-on-4, you could do 5-on-5, and you could do like a title match, you know?
And that'll close the show.
Yeah.
The title match.
Yeah.
And it can be the IC belt or the US belt. Close the show.
Yeah, because the belts need, you know, maybe you could bring a little bit of relevancy or unify them for Christ's sake because they're not doing anything with them.
That's true.
So, I don't know, man. I'm just, it is what it is. All right, well. Yeah. I'm done beating up on them, and I haven't watched TNA, so I'm not gonna shit on them either, because I haven't caught up in 2 weeks. So we got a bunch of Facebook questions, so that's cool. Ironically, all the Facebook questions that are good are without Mega Powers. So maybe that's a hint.
Don't do White Lightning like that.
I love Dave.
That's my dude.
I love Dave. I love you, brother. All right. Sugar Shane.
Miss you, Dave.
I miss you, boo. That's my baby. That's my baby. Sugar Shane wants to know, would you rather see WWE bring in and dust off an old WCW pay-per-view, or would you rather see WWE bring back their events, such as the Wrestling Classic, King of the Ring, Backlash, etc.?
Both.
How about doing
both?
Someone mentioned this. I think Tank mentioned this in one of his questions, and I'll just, you know. But why not make Hell in a Cell Halloween Havoc?
Exactly.
I mean, perfect sense. But the Wrestling Classic, let's be honest, they're not going to give anybody a $100,000 car anymore. Because that's what the Junkyard Dog allegedly won. Allegedly. Ironically, he died in a car accident, so I don't know if that's any kind of karma. But King of the Ring, of course, we'd love to see come back. I can care less about Backlash. Zero fucks given. Bring back the Great American Bash. Bring back Starrcade. You can have Starrcade as your fucking TLC. Stop.
Exactly.
Stop. You don't have to make the right. You don't have to make the whole pay-per-view a gimmick.
Especially when nobody's bleeding or anything like that.
If it's PG, then, you know, bring back Starrcade, which was the granddaddy, the mothership. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Oh, get me started. I miss all those things. I loved the Great American Bash up until 1993, but I digress. Don't get me wrong. I watched all of them. I'm not opposed, but you know how I feel about the old stuff. So
American Bash is great all the way across, Phil.
Well,
I mean, there's some clunkers in there.
Right.
But for the most part, you know, they were all right.
All right. Our buddy,
you don't like the Hogan years.
I don't, listen, the only thing I don't like, listen, some of his stuff was great in WCW. I just didn't like do you know how I felt about that one Halloween Havoc with the monster trucks? That was just awful. Other than that, I can deal with Hogan. I didn't mind Hogan in WCW. I didn't. I really didn't.
So the sumo truck, monster truck.
Come on, dude. Can you come on now? You can't tell me
a gimmick.
I know, but it was a bad gimmick. It was the same thing.
Giant falling off the top of the building.
This was Hogan bringing in all his friends. It's like, okay, I'm gonna have a feud with all my friends. So have Kevin Sullivan bring in Shark and Booty Daddy and all and Zodiac. Kamala and just terrible. The best thing to come out of that whole thing was Big Show, was Paul White as the Giant. I thought that was for me fun to watch. You know, a guy who was a big guy like that, you know, and he had a little bit more talent than Andre did. God rest his soul. But, you know, Andre was still bigger than life. But anyway.
Well, the Giant would beat the hell out of the Big Show.
Yeah. I like the Giant. I like the U.S. Champion NWO Giant. That was
fun. Oh, yeah.
That was fun when he fought Diamond Dallas Page and all that. When DB, when they would bring
Jeff Jarrett.
Yeah, when they would. That's right. The NWO guys would come out from the side of the arena, you know.
Yeah.
That was cool.
He stole the belt from Ric Flair.
I enjoyed that. I did. I enjoyed that. Uh-huh. Our buddy Stell from Shoot the Defense. Check out that podcast if you're a soccer fan. With all the political correctness going on in the E nowadays, would the Special Forces be a success?
You're damn right they would.
The Swagger cult, the combination as faces didn't work at all. So aside from the blatant publicity stunt that was, a tribute to the troops, I can't see the WWE doing anything patriotic in case they offend any of their worldwide audience. You know what? I have to disagree with you, Tony. I don't think it'll work. I don't with all the
what the special forces
because
it'll go over.
No, it would go over like in certain parts of the country, but piss off everybody else around the world because we're all PC now. We're all PG. We're worried about pissing people off. I don't know. So
Firebreaker and the Patriot.
I
would go to hell over, Phil. America would get behind, just like they're getting behind the Big Show. They would get behind WWE Special Forces, my friend.
I you know what? I wanna agree with you, brother, but I can't.
See how they get behind the Big Show?
Listen, I'm just saying, like, you know, people all over the world don't listen. We're
a character like the Patriot.
Tony, we're not very well liked everywhere else lately. The last couple of years, I don't want to get too political because I hate politics. But I mean, I know you watch the news. I know you're a pretty intelligent dude.
Oh yeah.
So you know, we're not very popular with the masses, kid. So I don't know if it's a thing.
What you mean worldwide?
Yes, I'm okay, saying a worldwide audience that you know millions and millions of people watch this shit now. You know.
So well, the British wouldn't like us because they're cunts, but it's okay. We were sending HBK. Come on, man. And the Canadians, who gives a damn about them?
Oh, now, come on. We got a couple of Canucks in the room, dude.
Hey, listen. Oh, okay, I'm sorry. Let me apologize. Who gives a damn about the French Canadians? So if you're not a French Canadian, I wasn't talking
about
Tony, you.
But... Tony likes the Western Canadian guys, but forget about the...
Damn right. Forget about the French Canadians, to hell with them.
They can go to hell, right?
They could eat a bag of baby dicks.
Baby fried Indian dicks. Okay.
There you go.
Rick Paisley. Rick Paisley. Thank you, Rick, for checking in. Do you all think the network should add more house shows from the 70s, 80s, and 90s on the old school? And should they be doing a history of the divas and the U.S. titles? And would it kill WWE to do the history of women's wrestling documentary that the network can use to tune into a 3D reset? Blah, 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 blah. Host of Mick Foley, blah, blah, blah. You know. Okay, I know where he's going with this. Rick, if you listen to the show and you're regular on the downloads and all live, I appreciate it. You know that I'm the king of the house shows. I went to almost every house show in New York from 1985 to 1989. So for me, I would love to have the old school stuff on the network. Great stuff from the Boston Gardens. Great stuff from the Spectrum. Surfer talks about the Spectrum all the time. Boston Garden had some fantastic matches. Madison Square Garden, Nassau Coliseum. WCW had some stuff here, too, in the NWA. So, I mean, you know, of course I would love to have that stuff. The Divas stuff, they'll probably do some spotlight stuff on Trish and Lita and all the other chicks. I don't see them. They probably will do a documentary. The Divas title hasn't been around that long.
I want to see that match where the Rockers won the tag team titles for one day.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
At that house show.
Yeah, yeah. You know, you have to understand something, too, Rick. Women's wrestling was more of an attraction than what, like, when I was a kid and I went to wrestling matches, the midgets and the women were just attractions. They weren't part of the card. I mean, they were part of the card, but they weren't a main part of the card. They were like curtain jerkers, you know? So, exactly. And when you had Moolah monopolizing the belt for almost 30 years, you know, you kind of wonder, like, you know, so you want to go as far back as the ad, maybe do like an Attitude Era women's disc. I wouldn't mind that. I'd like to see Trish and Lita and Tori, Jazz. I love Jazz. Tori Wilson and old Jackie Gator, Victoria.
Mrs. Rodney Mack.
Mrs. Rodney Mack. He was terrible, by the way. Rodney Mack was
Mack Militant.
But he had a look to him. He was terrible, though, in the ring. You got to admit that, dude.
Yes, he was.
Oh, man. All right.
I don't know.
Shout out to Chunky Larry from Geek City Industry, Mega Powers Radio. And Larry's got two questions. Does he have two questions? Okay, no, I'm sorry. He has one question. Is Craig Pitbull Pittman the worst character ever created?
Hell no.
No. I have a bunch of others.
Shockmaster,
Arachnoman. They gave Brad Armstrong the Bad Street fucking mask in the card tonight that we're going to be talking about. Mantor was terrible. What else? There was a terrible the Ding Dongs.
Ding Dongs.
They were
that black character that was with the Freebirds,
Little Richard Marley. He was terrible. Yeah. What about Ranger Ross? That was awful.
Ranger Ross.
Yeah, what about the Rat Master, PN News? We'll talk about him tonight.
PN News.
Come on, dude. It was a terrible one. What about Mr. JL? His name was
Ice Train.
Glacier, Mortis. Oh, gee, the Duke the Dumpster Drosy. What was the
Tony? Forget about Rath.
Rath. Remember, what about the remember the dirty white boy Tony Anthony? He was in T.L. Hopper. He was T.L. Hopper. Remember that?
T.L. Hopper. Yeah.
Oh, Steve Kern was Skinner. Dude, I mean, yeah. Listen, Chunky Larry, you know I love you to death, man.
Just horrible gimmicks out there.
All right, that's a great question, dude. We have to come up with a top 10 of worst characters ever. And I have a book that my sister had got me a few years ago. It's called Wrestle Crap, and it's just a book of all shitty gimmicks. What about the Dale Torborg, the Jeff Torborg, the baseball manager's son? He played the Kiss Demon. Oh, please. The shits of the drizzling variety, Tony. The shits of the drizzling variety.
Everybody, the number one band in the world, Kiss!
That's right.
Tony Schiavone.
Liz Moxley, another Geek City Industry participator. She runs NASCAST. Liz wants to know, if WWE ever buys TNA, will you see Impacts and weekly pay-per-views on the network? I guess I don't see them buying TNA because it's only got about 10 years worth of pay-per-views. I don't know. I mean, they would. I mean, they probably would stream it. I mean, you think they would? They probably would if they bought
it. They'll put it in the archive. Yeah.
Okay. Tank wants to know, with Mega Schiavone out of the booth this week, Tony, would Firebreaker Chip at least be IC champ in WWE circa 1989? Tony? I lost Tony C. All right. Let me try to get him back. Tony C. Let me try to get him back. Let's see. Dun, dun, dun. I lost Tony C on the Skype. And I had a question for him, too, and we lost him. Oh, boy. All right. Okay, well, I lost Tony C. So if he calls back in, I'll ask his question. Stell wants to know, you have a time machine and your destination is 1991. Who in NXT do you think would be successful in this era? Only taking their ring ability into consideration, not their mic and promo skills. 1991 NXT, huh? The Ascension guys for sure. Oh, welcome back.
Sorry about that, man. I hit a bad patch of area.
It's all right, brother.
Driving in.
It's all right, brother.
I'm trying to get home to my Wi-Fi, so.
Okay. Tank has a question for you, and I was asking it, and you got cut off. Tank wants to know, Tony, would Firebreaker Chip be at least an IC champ in WWE circa 1989?
He would get a title shot. They probably wouldn't put the damn belt on him because the damn name Firebreaker.
That's awesome. Okay.
Rat bastards, they put the belt on Kerry Von Erich, but they won't put it on Firebreaker Chip, damn it. That damn name just says it all about what was going on at that time.
Yeah, man, Desert Storm, the whole nine yards. Yeah, man, come on, you could have had the. Listen, Sergeant Slaughter was G.I. Joe, man.
Exactly.
All right, Stell wants to know, if I had a time machine and my destination 1991, who in NXT would be most successful in this era? Only taking their ring ability into consideration, no mic or promo skills. Okay. So I mentioned the Ascension right before you called back in. I like them. They would probably be, because they were big guys. The early 90s were big for having guys in the big dude era, you know? Definitely the Bull guy, the guy from Brooklyn, he'd be another guy that'd be from NXT. That would be big in the 90s. I don't know about Aaron Neville. I know his name is Adrian, but for the new listeners, we call him Aaron Neville. And I lost Tony C again, but I mean, the guy Kaz who hangs out with Enzo Amore, I like all the big guys would probably get in to NXT because from NXT, you know? So anyway, moving right along. Are you there, brother?
Yeah, I'm here with you.
Okay.
I'm back here. Everything's running.
All right. Cool. Hey, okay. Baza wants to know, there seems to be a history of, Battle of LA winners going on to pick up the PWG strap. With this year's winner being Ricochet, scheduled for a shot at Kyle O'Reilly in December, will we expect more of the same? That's definitely a trend. Ricochet is an amazing talent, and I could see him as a mainstay in PWG as the world champ. I don't know. And Kyle O'Reilly is amazing. I love Red Dragon. I do see Ricochet, and I do see them going with that style. So, and that trend. Choppy wants to know, what match made you a fan of wrestling? The first match made him a fan was Jake versus a local jobber in 87. It was right before Mania. I missed those days versus the jobbers. Tony C, what match made you a fan of wrestling?
I would say when I first watched the Hogan beat Sheep.
The opening credits of the Superstars you're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah, that drew me in. But right before I saw that, I had seen the build up to Hogan and to Piper and Superfly Snuka. I saw the aftermath of the coconut thing, so that kind of drew me in. I was waiting for I was waiting for something to come on TV as a kid. I was like 8 years old, and I saw that, and I was just hooked. I saw Piper's promo with Dr. D. David Schultz, and I was hooked. But the Hogan promo, when you hear,
yes, sir,
the Incredible Hulk Hogan, and right then the energy of that intro for the 6 o'clock version of Super, that Superstars, you had Wrestling Challenge, but you know that was All American Wrestling. You had it's some good stuff, really really good stuff. So all right. Tank wants to know what Halloween Havoc. Yeah, we mentioned Halloween Havoc and Hell in a Cell. We gave Tank the credit for that. Thank you. Uptown Georgie wants to know, how would we rank Shane Douglas' mic skills? Would he be top 10? What do you think, Tony?
I would say right outside the top 10.
He'd definitely be in my top 20.
Yeah.
A lot of guys who could talk.
Shane, he was good on the mic.
He was great on a microphone with ECW
very
as well.
Good on-
Gary Shaw wants to know, thank you for checking in, Gary. If there was a crossover pay-per-view between WWE versus WCW / NWA, what year would it be? Where would it be held? And who would you put on the card? Now, that's a pretty broad question. But I think he wants to know if we had a Fed versus a Fed, where would you have it? Well, first of all, you'd have to have it in a huge stadium, right? Sort of like a football,
exactly.
Like a football stadium, like, you know, or dome.
Yeah, like Jerry World or something.
Yeah, you put it like in the Big D, or you'd put it like in, I guess New Orleans in the Superdome, or you could put it in Indianapolis, or, you know, or maybe one of the big Florida. What's not the Gator Bowl? What's the I guess the Orange Bowl? How many seats is the Orange Bowl, Tony? Like 100,000?
Maybe a little under 100.
Yeah, so you put something like that. Who would I put on a card? I mean, I would put every champion versus. I would put the world champions. I guess Hogan. I would do Hogan Flair. I would do, I guess, like Barry Windham, Ricky Steamboat, or Dusty Rhodes versus somebody, or Luger versus somebody. I put the Road Warriors against any of their top teams at the time. Maybe Demolition or you know, one of those guys. You know, the possibilities are endless. You know.
The match that I would have wanted to see in 1997 or 98 would be the Hollywood Hogan Austin match.
Yeah, how about this, dude? How about the 80s? How about putting speaking of tag
Flair
teams,
and Hogan.
What about the Rock and Roll Express versus the Hart Foundation, or the Rock and Roll Express versus the Bulldogs? How about the Midnight Express versus
there
any of those
go.
Teams? How about the Midnight Express versus the Killer Bees?
That would be a good one.
Crazy shit, right?
And the Midnight Express would go over because Cornette would help. He'd hit somebody with the tennis racket.
Well, thank you guys all for the questions, by the way. They were awesome questions. Mr. X wants to know that I watched The Garden of Eden 30 for 30 for the Knicks. No, it's on my DVR. I'll be watching that tonight when I'm done with this. It's a Spike Lee production. They're talking about the new offense, the triangle offense that's going to be run by Derek Fisher and the Czar.
Oh, God.
Yeah, you know what, dude? I don't want to talk about basketball too much, but you know I'm a big basketball fan. I don't know if it's gonna work. I know Carmelo lost a ton of weight. I don't know if I like him at the three. The offense does work if you have the proper talent. The Lakers,
they're in the Eastern Conference. So if they don't make the playoffs, Phil, that's just
of course. But I'm talking about, more importantly, the offense works. The triangle offense works if you have the talent in place. In other words, the Lakers won championships because they had guys in place. They had the Kobe Bryants and the Derek Fishers and the Shaquilles, and they had Robert Horry, and they had guys in place that can do it. Okay, the triangle offense works when you have the talent. Bottom line.
Yep.
Okay. The bottom
and
line.
The major thing is it goes through the post, and you have to have outside shooters.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think it's just a matter of talent. I mean, the Knicks have Shumpert. They have guys. You know, they have guys in place. You know, they have guys in place. So, I don't know if it's going to do anything. I don't know. I really don't know, Tony. I can't answer that. I want them to win. The Knicks haven't won since 1970. They're screaming for a championship here. They spend billions and billions of dollars on the building. They spend millions on this team. And now they have the guys in place to run the team. Let's hope that they can do something. And you're right. If they don't make the playoffs, they're a shit team. Because the Eastern Conference right now is up for grabs. There is no dominant team in the Eastern Conference.
Not hands this down. Year, no.
No. I mean, you want to talk Chicago, maybe. You want to throw Cleveland in the mix because of who you know who? I don't know. But again, I think the Knicks are improved. I think the Knicks will do better. You know, I don't like Atlanta. I love it. I mean, I want these teams. I don't know.
The Hawks are horrid. So,
man, the Eastern Conference is horrid. What team do you root for? Are you a Magic fan?
I'm a Laker fan.
Oh, you're a Laker fan. Holy 96. Shit!
696, my friend.
Oh Jesus.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
We got some L's coming, but it happens. Yeah, it comes in cycles.
You got to take your lumps, kid. You got to take your lumps. All right. I think that's it. Guys are throwing up some more bad gimmicks. Vinny Vegas, Isaac Yankum.
The Diamond Stud.
The Diamond Stud, who's on this card tonight, by the way. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. Guys, we have a kick-ass throwback for you tonight. Tony C is with me. We're hanging out. I want to take a quick break, plug some of my friends in their shows, and play some awesome commercials like I always do. And we'll be right back. Ladies and gentlemen, we are the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. We're live on Rant EM Radio. As always, a Shining Wizards Network production, and we'll be right back.
Back. Hey,
Following is a...
So, what do you want to do?
So,
I don't know. What do you want to do?
You boys a bit bored? Snap into it! Snap into a Slim Jim! Tear to the spice! Sleepy Dizzy Taste! Hey, nice! Antique! Snap into it! Need a little excitement? Snap into a Slim Jim!
There are many ways that you can support the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. Go to iTunes. Search out the Shining Wizards Network and Rant Entertainment Media. Leave a review and download all the other fine programming that's on those networks. We're on Stitcher, we're on Buzzsprout.com, AudioBoom.com, and GeekLifeRadio.com every Saturday evening. Got Facebook? Hit us up on Facebook.com/TurnbuckleThrowbacks and join our group. We're on Twitter, @TBuckleTBacks. Want to email the show? TurnbuckleThrowbacks1@gmail.com. We are the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. We're on Rant EM Radio. We're on the Shining Wizards Network. It's entertainment here.
Can I get one of those woo tickets?
Excuse me?
One of those woo tickets.
It's not woo, it's woo!
Woo!
Woo! Introducing Ric Flair's new woo! Scratch-off ticket
for the North Carolina Educational Lottery with a top prize of $100,000. It's enough to make anyone say, woo!
Woo! Woo! Woo! Woo! Yo, Big Phil here, reminding everybody, when you're done with our show, head on over to the Shining Wizards Network. That's right, the mothership, shiningwizardsnetwork.com, for 9 fantastic shows. How about Apex Radio from our boy Stickman up in the north, bringing you the down low on everything in the Ottawa wrestling scene? How about 2.5 Wrestlers with Jay Silva, Pat Buck, and Kevin Matthews? Now with Brian Myers. You know him better as Kurt Hawkins. Now he has something to do. How about the Midnight Jury with our pals Mike and Adam, transporting you back to the last old school generation as they debate in detail 80s and 90s pro wrestling, horror movies, and pop culture? How about Pro Wrestling 101 with the hardcore icon himself, Justin Credible? How about the only pro wrestling and heavy metal podcast, the Neckbreaker Podcast, with our boys Brian and John? How about Justin, the two Timmies, and Vince breaking it down with the Inconclusive Breakdown Podcast? How about our buddy Dave Destruction from Pro Wrestling Syndicate with Thursday Night Destruction? And of course, the Shining Wizards. So guys, what are you waiting for? ShiningWizardsNetwork.com. Entertainment here. Hey kids, you like the show? You like the shirts that we're wearing? Well, we're selling them. Go to ProWrestlingTees.com/turnbuckle throwbacks. We have 3 awesome styles. We have the original logo with artwork by Dean Stahl. We have the NES cartridge parody logo shirt. And the British-inspired World of Wrestling Turnbuckle Throwbacks Shining Wizards Network shirt. It's the Turnbuckle Throwbacks t-shirt, man. What are you waiting for? Be the envy of all your friends at your next wrestling event. And, of course, the girls dig it. Chicks love a good throwback. I know. I'm living proof. Every girl crazy about a shirt.
G'day folks, AJ here. When you finish listening to this fucking podcast, head on over to iTunes or Stitcher and check out myself, Lee and Punch on the fucking Bloke Show.
We talk about a whole variety of topics like comics, cartoons, movies, television, and sports.
And we're often joined by guests like Deck from Ireland and other friends from all over this wonderful planet.
Once a month, we jump into the DeLorean and take a look at the history of professional wrestling.
And once a month, we look back at actual history with TWiT, This Week in Time.
And once a month, we talk about whatever the fuck we want to talk about.
So please follow us on Twitter at TBSPOD.
And talk to us in the Facebook group, The Bloke Show.
And I don't give a fuck what you cunts do, just listen to this fucking thing.
Hey, hey, Felonious Punk here, and I'm interrupting an otherwise quality podcast to let you know about our little show, NXT Cast. It's the only international podcast devoted to the future of the WWE, NXT. I'm joined each week by Chris NXN Nixon and the Austrian cyborg Bernard Binder to go over the latest NXT rumours and news, as well as an in-depth analysis of the latest episodes and the current roster. So if you're looking for a wrestling podcast that covers arguably the best in-ring product that WWE is producing today, then find us on Stitcher, iTunes, Podomatic and NXTcast.net, the international podcast devoted to the yellow and black, NXT Cast.
Do you remember the days when Abdullah the Butcher wasn't giving you Hep C? I do. And when I want to remember those times, I listen to the Turnbuckle Throwbacks with Phil Raya.
Oh, yeah!
That's the music of one of the greatest WCW champions of all time.
The music is better than the wrestler.
Oh, that hurts. That
gentlemen, we're back. Welcome back to the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. Episode number 91. We're 9 episodes from 100. Amazing. I can't believe I did this. I can't believe I kept up with it this far. Tony C is joining me tonight. Mega Powers is burying Japanese chick somewhere in Central Jersey.
Pimp slapping British chick.
Yeah. Psh. Mega Powers is a strong pimp hand, you know. All right.
That song just puts you right where you want to be.
Dude, when I got this, I was like, oh, this is so perfect. I got a good copy of it, so I was very happy about that. All right, I'm going to let this play out for a minute. But anyway, we're back. So here's the deal. Next week, we are not going to be live, but you'll have a new episode. Mega Powers and I are actually going to record on Sunday for next week because, of course, Dave is super busy, apparently, and has no time for me anymore. So I feel like that, you know, like the third wheel. I feel like the third wheel when your friend gets in a relationship. He tries to fit you in, like, oh, me and my girl are hanging out again tonight. Can you want to hang out with us at the movies? No, I don't want to hang out. So, but no, all jokes aside.
You don't have time for me anymore.
You don't have time for me anymore. Dave's got this new job, and he's really involved, and he's really happy with it. So good for him. And he's coming over on Sunday. He's going to join us for the rant. Hold on a second here. Hold on. Oh, this fucking thing. I hate this. I got to get a real soundboard. One day I'll have a real studio. But anyway, you know, so Dave's going to be joining us on Sunday. We'll be recording next week's episode for Wednesday. And maybe I'll jump on live for a few minutes and just do the throwback. And maybe I'll just do some news and we'll play it. And maybe I'll figure something out. Either way, you're going to get a new episode. We're 9 episodes away from episode 100, which is right before Christmas and New Year's. We're going to be picking a venue for that. We might be doing it on a Saturday night instead of the Wednesday night. I got to talk AA about programming for that day, for that week. We might be doing it live from some crazy location. We'll get some people involved. Hopefully everybody from the rant can join us on the phone lines and the chat room, and the Shining Wizards Network guys can join us. Should be a good time. So stay on the lookout for that. But this week's episode is a tie-in to next week's episode, which is why I wanted Tony and I to cover this and not do a 90s chat line like we did last week. So, I mean, once in a while it's fun, but, you know, I get, you know, I'm getting too old for that, you know. Plus, I'm a married man now. I can't be picking up anybody on the phones, you know? But anyway.
On the chat line,
damn right. And you're a newlywed, too, so you know you can't be doing that shit on the phone.
So, nope.
That's right. Wifey, take care of that ass. So, anyway. Anyway, we're going back to September the 5th, 1991. How old were you in 1991, Tony C?
That would put me at, drum roll, please, 8 years old.
Ooh, that means I'm 8 years older than you? Holy shit. So I was 16. I was trying out for that team, and Dinkins fucked me over. See, I was around that time. We are at the Augusta Richmond County Civic Center in Augusta, Georgia. 2,800 fans in attendance for this show. And ironically, the show drew a 3.7 rating, which is 3 times more than what TNA draws on their weekly television show. Because it was free. It was on TBS. And it was Clash of the Champions. Now, a couple things go on now. This is the end of Ric Flair at this point. He's gone from the company. And he took the belt with him, which means Luger had to use an old Florida belt, and they threw a plate on it, and it looked like shit. And I kind of felt bad for Lex as the heel champion, because now he has this belt, and we'll talk about that in a little while, but it looked terrible, by the way. But anyway, all right, so the first match was a battle
royal. Lex looked good, but the belt didn't.
No, Lex looked good, but the belt didn't. This is true. I told you I liked Lex Luger around this time. All right, the first match was a battle royal. you want to hear some of the participants?
Yes, please.
The One Man Gang, Barry Windham, Big Josh, you know him better as Maniac Matt Bourne or Doink the Clown, rest in peace. Terrence Taylor, who was also on his card doing singles. The Natural Dustin Rhodes, Stunning Steve Austin, your TV champion.
Television champion.
the Sarge, Buddy Lee Parker. And he told everybody he's going to write him tickets. If you get the camera up on him closely, that's what he says, actually.
Yeah, I'm going to write everybody at WCW tickets.
Yeah, and ironically, Buddy Lee Parker became a trainer for the power plant, and he's the only one that stayed and had a job for a long period of time. So, the Ratmaster PN News, a very terrible gimmick for Kevin Nash. It was Oz.
With the contacts.
Yep, yep. Young Pistol Tracy Smothers. Yeah, exactly.
Smothers.
Exactly. Another shit gimmick, Ranger Ross, which I brought up before. Beautiful Bobby Eaton. Another York Foundation resident, Thomas Rich, which baffled me how they made Tommy Rich anything more than Tommy Rich. And, of course, the Z-Man, Mr. Minnesota himself. And the winner of the Battle Royal was Ellie Conte.
This guy.
That guy, as we say in Brooklyn, that guy. That guy. They were really big on Ellie Conte at this point.
I know.
He was an Argentine that was a basketball player. He wrecked his knee in basketball, and Turner liked him and gave him a shot. So that's how he became a shitty wrestler for WCW. So
Elegante.
Match of the night, I thought, was the next match. Brian Pillman in the it was a semifinal match for the WCW light heavyweight tournament. He fought Bad Street, which you mentioned was a shit gimmick. Was Brad Armstrong under a mask. And that was the only thing that saved
Bad Street.
Right. The only thing that saved this match was that Brad Armstrong was under the mask, and it was a good match. Did you like Flying Brian Pillman? Were you a fan?
Oh yeah, I was more a fan of him with the Blondes, though.
Yeah, Hollywood Blondes with him and Austin.
With Austin, oh yeah, man.
Yeah, man. The match was really, really good. I enjoyed it. I thought. A couple of spots that, you know, Pillman almost killed himself doing that suicide dive. He went right into the grate if he saw that. Like, he hit him with the grate, and, like, he tried to block his face going into the grate of the railing, but it didn't work. He hit his face right into the railing, so. Pillman took some spots, took some hard,
He did hit that rail kind of hard.
He did.
Indy. Jim Ross. Oh, he hit his head right on the rail.
Jim Ross put him over like he was the. Jim Ross put Pillman over like he was the second coming of Jesus Christ. Did you notice that?
Yes, he did.
Jim
Flying Brian.
He won the Courage Award. He won the Courage Award from the Cincinnati Bengals. My God. My God. My God. Anyway.
And then he beat him with a high cross body drop from the top.
Yeah. Yeah.
Come on.
Come on, man. Get the stepping.
You better than that.
You are not lying. Okay. So now that, you know, now obviously the winner of this advances to the finals, which is at Halloween Havoc, which we'll be talking about on our next episode. So now Pillman wins, he advances to the finals. The next match though.
This is my match right here. I know you're laughing already because I'm laughing with you. You know what I pointed out.
All right, so we'll let you take it. It's the Fabulous Freebirds getting a WCW tag team title shot against the Patriots.
The Patriots, Firebreaker Chip, and freaking. The Patriot.
Todd Champion. No,
Todd Patriot. Yeah. Freaking Champion.
Yeah, the Patriot was Del Wilkes. He was not in this match. Todd Champion, Firebreaker Chip with the Champions. Now, here's the deal. On August, you see, the Patriots won the belts. They won the U.S. titles in August, but the match didn't air
on the 12th.
Yeah, the match didn't air yet, so the Freebirds were announced as the champions, and the titles were not on the line, making it a non-title match.
Yep. So but I just love hearing Bad Street USA.
Oh, man. You know what?
And Michael Hayes and Randy Carter.
How? Yeah, man. Hold on a second. Let me keep talking, Tony. Yeah, keep talking.
They act like they're really rock stars.
Yeah, man. They were rock stars.
And then they had the Oakley shade.
Yeah, they had. Everybody had Oakley shades and Zubats, and he still has his fanny pack.
Mullet.
Yeah, and the mullet.
Yeah, the runner.
Yeah.
Garvin looked like he had just got done drinking a whole lot of beer.
I like Jimmy Garvin as a free bird.
Jimmy Garvin, my bad.
Yeah, Jimmy Jam. Here's a little free bird for you. Cause I'm Michael Hayes and I have a raspy voice. Backstreet Atlanta, GA.
Yeah, man. And Gary Michael Capetta announcing them
from Backstreet USA
in Atlanta, Georgia.
In Atlanta, Georgia, Michael P.S. Hayes.
Jimmy
Garvin.
You know what I love when they came in and did that spot, and Jimmy Jam would get on the ropes. And he would sing with Michael, yeah, but he didn't know the words. he was looking at Michael Hayes' mouth, his lips were moving, like, to follow him. Because, you know, of course, Michael knows the words. He sang the fucking song. But Jimmy Jam never knew the words. So Jimmy Jam would pretend he was singing with him, pointing at him. Like, yeah, I know the words. I'm going to mouth what you say, but it doesn't sound right, you know? And if you look closely, you'll catch it.
He's freaking the ropes at the same time.
Exactly. Exactly. So... Again, Firebreaker Chip was funny. Todd Champion.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Todd Champion wasn't actually, he was an accomplished wrestler. Firebreaker Chip didn't do much after this, and now I know why. They had a brief run, and this is when you have to understand something too. This WCW is in its infancy at this point. They lost Flair. They were trying to break away from the old regime, obviously trying to break away from the NWA. And this was the second Clash of the Champions under the official WCW banner.
Yeah, the first one was in January.
Right, right. So this was the 16th one, actually, too.
Yeah.
If I didn't mention that before, I'm sorry. So that was – it wasn't a terrible match. You know, people give Michael Hayes a lot of shit. He couldn't work in the ring, but I thought Michael Hayes was solid. Jimmy Garvin was a great wrestler, too. They talked, they worked, they were just and as much as we break on the special forces, they weren't terrible guys either.
Nope.
The gimmicks at the time were for its time
were just cheesy.
Was not well they were cheesy now. It's yeah. Funny. But back in 1991 when we were at war and the Desert Storm and everything else, they played it right up to the gills, man. So I mean it was that kind of party and people got away with it, you know? It made Sergeant Slaughter do things too. It was the war did things for everybody at that point, and you know it turned the world around.
But, yeah, that is true.
Yeah. All right.
What?
So it was a good match. The Patriots. The Freebirds won the match.
Yep.
But since the match on August 12th wasn't aired yet, the Freebirds were announced as the champions, and the titles went on the line to make it a non-title match. I hate when they did that shit, man. It had WCW, the NWA and WCW were infamous for having phantom champions. They would get the
people be champions without the belt.
Right, they would give the six-man belts to like Junkyard Dog and his pals, and they never where'd they win them from? Nobody knows. Oh, we won them in Alabama against, you know, Arn Anderson. No, you didn't. Okay, so your next match, the number one contender for the World Heavyweight Championship, the man, the All-American, Mr. Florida State. You know, the man that coined the phrase, damn. But before he was all that, he was Ron Simmons. And Ron Simmons was big at this point. They would play the vignettes. I know he was a Seminole. He was an All-American. He went to a couple of bowl games. The Seminoles retired his jersey. Bobby Bowden was on a couple of interviews in vignettes, so this was a big deal for Ron Simmons. He was getting that run. Thank you, Bill Watts, for that. Again, Bill Watts taking a page out of his Mid-South UWF playbook and making the African American man the go-getter, the number one contender for the belt, which worked out perfectly for Ron Simmons. But here's what put Ron Simmons over the top that night. This is arguably one of the best spots in pro wrestling ever. And Tony and I instantly, as soon as we knew this, we were talking about this, it's the first thing we mentioned. WCW was really big on having the contract signings. They made it a point. I mean, Flair did it a lot. Flair and Steamboat, Flair and Funk, Hogan and Flair, Sting did it. A lot of guys, it hyped the match. For me as a kid, it was wonderful. I know for Tony Wright, it was so awesome to see this, to have it made you feel like you were a part of something. So here we are, they're at the bottom of the ramp. Eric Bischoff is at the podium. You have, I'll paint the picture for you. You have a bunch of jobber guys in the back. You have a couple executives. Now, at one table, you got Ron Simmons with his wife and the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes.
And Dusty there for
moral support, you know.
Moral support.
Got to support my man. on the other side, on the left, you have the World Heavyweight Champion with the ship belt, the total package, Lex Luger. Hall of Famer, legendary, multi-time world champion, Holly Race, his mentor, his manager, and the Roughneck, Mr. Hughes, as the bodyguard.
Curtis Hughes.
Now, I call him the Roughneck because that's what he was in ECW. So that was his bodyguard. So I'm going to play the, if you don't mind, sir. I'm going to play a couple of minutes of this and let it roll for a second. Yeah, Ron Simmons is now signing the contract, looking it over with his wife. Dude, he was massive back then.
Yeah, he was cut.
Big Ron looking forward to this one. There's Big Dust looking on. Mrs. Ron Simmons.
Mrs. Ron
Simmons. It is official on behalf.
Mrs. Ron Simmons wearing the En Vogue hat.
Of Ron Simmons.
Yep.
Now they walk over to the other side of the table. Doug Dillinger there, Mr. Useless himself. Harley Race looking over the contract.
Race advisor, making sure everything's in order.
Dotting his I's, crossing his T's. Whispers something in the package's ear. Lex moves the shitty belt to the side.
You know, this truly is a historic occasion. I have to admit and give a man credit when credit's due. What a glowing tribute to the man, to the athlete, a pillar of the community, Ron Simmons. I had no idea, Ron. Retirement in front of 70,000 people in Jersey, your locker, plexiglass den, what a feeling that must be. The Boys Club, all the community service that you do, it's a real tribute to you. And because of that, Ron Simmons, I am going to give you the opportunity, and this is a historic occasion, to become the first Black World's Heavyweight Champion. And as a side note, Ron, when it's all said and done, the total package is still the World's Heavyweight Champion. I want you to know we started a great team here, and because of the kind of man you are, you always have a position with me, a lot of fringe benefits, a lot of perks. I've got my mentor. I've got my bodyguard. I had my maybe you being a driver. I need a good chauffeur.
Oh, that was too much. That was too much. Simmons coming after Luger. Simmons trying to tear Luger's head off. The contracts have been signed. Hughes is leveling anything that moves. That was so insulting from the pompous World Heavyweight Champion. And there you see, they're trying to get him out of here. Hughes putting Luger in the limousine. Race following him in. They've signed the contracts. What an insulting remark by Lex Luger. They've got into the stretch limousine. Simmons kicking it in.
Come on. Come on.
He wants to fight right now. And there goes the world's champion. Well, fans, we'll be back. The World Tag Team Championship is next.
Phil, you know what makes that so funny? He didn't say that until Mr. Hughes whispered something into his ear.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So the other Uncle Tom.
The other Uncle Tom.
And you know, back then, they, you know, that coonery was going. Lex Luger had a whole lot of nerve to say that to Ron Simmons.
That was probably probably the best thing Luger ever did as a heel. Oh. As a heel.
Oh, yeah. I mean, oh, yeah.
You know, him showing up on Nitro was great and all that shit. But that I think that...
That Lex Luger.
That Lex Luger was probably the best Lex Luger. It was.
He was evil because, you remember, around the same time, he attacked Sting, didn't he? After that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Sting had his own problems. He fought that night. He fought Here's the thing, too.
Little Richard.
Yeah, he fought Johnny B. Badd, and we'll get into that in a second. Well, yeah, we'll just get into it now before we get into Ron Simmons. But I'm jumping around the car a little bit.
You're fine.
But WCW, for some reason, like, there was no belts. Like Sting was the U.S. champion this night. He didn't bring the belt out. And he fights Johnny B. Badd, and Sting was involved with they showed a vignette of a clip of Sting getting jumped by Abdullah the Butcher a couple of weeks prior, and yep. Which was perpetrated by Cactus Jack. So now Sting's involved. Cactus Jack gets involved in a match. Sting beats Johnny B.
Badd. Getting all this was presents,
right? Getting all these big presents.
he was.
Cactus. Gets, you know, now Cactus admitted that him and Sting had some great chemistry.
Yeah.
So Sting comes out, beats Johnny B. Badd with no title. I love how they coin the Godfather, Teddy Long the Godfather. It's awesome. I love Teddy Long. He's got a shoot interview coming out. I gotta see it. I'm sure it's funny shit. Apparently he was the Viagra supplier in the dressing room for WWE the last couple of years. I gotta see his shoot interview. But so he wins the title but doesn't bring the belt out and then defends the title with no belt and beats
with no belt.
Right. Richard Morton.
Richard Morton of the York Foundation.
Right. And the York Foundation with Alexandria York with her huge ass laptop.
Yeah.
That thing was fucking huge, right?
Yes it was.
Richard Morton, not Ricky Morton, fights Mike Graham, of all people. Mike looks old at this point. It's Mega Powers' boy. He loves Mike Graham. He defeats Mike Graham. This was the other semifinal match for the WCW World Light Heavyweight Championship. So now Richard Morton does a schoolboy after Graham gets hit with the turnbuckle, top turnbuckle, and then he rolls up Graham for the win. And Alexandria York, she looked hot back then, man. I love that business.
Oh, yeah.
Like that little business suit with the big glasses and the big fat ass she had.
And the bun in the back.
She had that school teacher bun. Yeah, she had a little nice shit locker, too, you know? Nice ass. Nice little shit locker on her.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. A wagon, as my friend Kendall would say. A wagon. She had a nice little wagon. A little caboose on her. So, all right. So now Richard Morton is going to fight now Brian Pillman at the Halloween Havoc for the Light Heavyweight Championship. Sadly, now we talk about Ron Simmons. Ron Simmons defeats the Diamond Stud. I feel bad, man. Scott Hall had a shit gimmick.
Yes, that was a horrible gimmick.
Good match, though. I thought it was a good match, you know. Again, both guys can work. Scott Hall was a phenomenal worker. You know, I think he was
a phenomenal athlete, period.
That's the thing, man. I believe, like, for some reason, and, I mean, you're an NWO aficionado, so, I mean, I'm glad you're on tonight. I thought, maybe you could disagree with me if you want, I thought his gimmick as Scott, as the Outsiders, took away from his actual talent in the ring. I don't think he had a lot of good matches.
Well, when he was a part of the tag team, you know, right. They were a heel tag team, so, you know, they were doing underhanded things. But if they would have let him just go, like on a singles run, like for the U.S. title.
Right.
Yeah.
I agree.
Like when he beat Piper for the U.S., he was U.S. champion.
Yeah. Royals.
They should have gave him a run, but.
Royals are up 7-2, bottom of the sixth in the World Series, if anybody cares. My phone just went off. He gave me the update. But, yeah, I thought he had I just felt bad for him when he, you know, just the shit gimmicks. But you know what? Got his Hall of Fame ring. He's one of the main players in the Attitude Era, and he was awesome at what he did. So I have no problems with Scott Hall. I'm a big fan of Scott Hall. So
yeah,
another York Foundation standout, Terrence Taylor.
Terrence Taylor,
and that damn laptop, and that damn laptop again gets defeated by Heavy Metal Van Hammer. Another shit gimmick.
He jobbed out the Van Hammer, sure did.
He was terrible. Dude, did you see that one spot he did when he came off the ropes and he went to hit the knee? He didn't even touch him. Like, it was like, that dude.
He was terrible
He was so bad. Terry Taylor is a phenomenal wrestler, by the way. Not even Terry Taylor can make Van Hammer look good.
Didn't he win the TV title?
Yes.
Later on? Yeah.
Yeah. See? He was fucking terrible, that guy.
Him and the Renegade.
Earlier, it was just, oh, God. And listen, I loved WCW. I loved it. I did. Loved it. But they had some terrible, terrible gimmicks. I think they had more terrible gimmicks than the E did at that point.
I would probably bet that. Yeah, if we sized them up.
Yeah, Tony, we got to come up with a shit gimmick list. That'd be an awesome episode. I'm going to get Dave on that. All right, so early in the night, Scotty Stein is hurt at this point. The WCW World Tag Team titles were vacant on July 18th when Scotty got injured. So Rick decides he's going to pick Olympic strongman and Guinness World Record breaker and terrible wrestler Bill Kazmaier as his partner. So Eric Bischoff brings Bill Kazmaier into the ring. Bill Kazmaier is now going to break another work record. He's going to bend some steel rods with his head and a towel and whatever. He does this amazing feat, apparently, bends them. But, of course, now here's my thing. Why would you leave weights? But when you're not lifting weights, why would you bring them out and leave weight plates in the ring when you're not doing a lift? You're bending the bar, right? So that's strike one. Strike two, you have your back turned to everything. So now, of course, after he does the feat, who comes in the ring? The Enforcers, which is one of my favorite underrated tag teams of all time, on Anderson and Larry Zbyszko. They come in with one of these big weights and they crack Kazmaier in the ribs. Now,
right square in the ribs.
Now, where's Rick Steiner? Rick Steiner comes out after he gets hit. And waits, too. Like, he's by the curtain going, should I go now? Yeah, go now. Okay, go. And
he goes, Rick Steiner. Right. What do you expect? So,
yeah, I guess. But anyway.
Not the sharpest knife in the drawer.
Which sets up the, this was a tournament.
Tag team title match.
This was a tag team title tournament. And the finals were Rick Steiner and his shit partner, Bill Kazmaier, fighting the Enforcers. And obviously now, Bill Kazmaier not only, can't wrestle, but now he's injured. So it's a double whammy now. Double whammy, he can't fight, he's injured. And, of course, the better team of Anderson and Zbyszko handily win the tag team titles. So... And that was your Clash of the Champions. Now, it wasn't a bit. What's that, Tony?
No, I was just making sure we didn't leave out any matches.
One match, I'm sorry, which was I totally forgot about this match. I apologize. Steve Austin defeating Tom Zink, retaining the TV title. I mean, yeah, the TV title. Now, the only thing. Yeah, you know what? Tom Zink. Good worker, but you know he was okay. I still they couldn't do nothing with him. You know, they made him champion. I think a few times, but just I don't know.
Yeah, he was the champion.
The only thing I have to put into this is that the only notes I wrote for this match was I love Steve Austin as Stunning Steve. That's A. Yep. And B, Lady Blossom had some huge cans. Holy
That's
shit.
True.
Didn't he marry her? Wasn't that Chris Adams' ex-wife? Yeah, and she had some big-ass titties, man. They were like milk pockets, those things. God damn, they were huge. But yeah, that is your fucking Clash of the Champions, episode number 16. Now, this is going to tie into the next pay-per-view, which was Halloween Havoc in the Chamber of Horrors.
Chamber of Horrors and the good old-fashioned WCW Phantom.
Yep, and you're going to get all of that on the next episode of Turnbuckle Throwbacks. I mean, obviously, we all know the results and stuff, but for me, is one of Dave's favorites. Is one of my favorites.
Oh, it was a favorite of mine. Yeah,
that's right.
Oh, yeah. Halloween Havoc, man. I mean, this led up to it. And I mean, the pay-per-view didn't have as many funny moments as the Clash, because you had, you know, the contract signing. Then you had Arn hitting the guy with the weight. And then you had Firebreaker Chip. You know, so you don't get any better than
that. No, you don't.
And Jim Ross during that contract signing, goal, man. He couldn't take anymore.
Jim Ross.
Curtis Hughes, the Uncle Tom.
The roughneck. Curtis Hughes, the Uncle Tom. I think
he is the Uncle Tom. He wanted Ron Simmons to join him. Ron couldn't take it. Oh. And Lex said it with so much confidence. I have a bodyguard, have a mentor.
And
only thing I'm missing
is a driver.
Oh, man. Racism. Wow.
You know what's terrible?
And that was.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, man. Go ahead. Finish your point.
No, I was just going to say that was just – and the thing about it, that's just the tip of the iceberg for Ron Simmons. If you know that's what comes up after that with him and Harley Race.
Him and Harley Race, yeah. But you know what? You know what sucks, though? And, again, a lot of it's tongue-in-cheek, and a lot of it was purposely directed towards the racism that still existed, like, back in the day. Or that didn't exist, and they tried to bring it back like it did. You can't do that now.
Oh no!
Like it would
you
be so
did say anything like that.
It'd be so awesome if they could, though. You know, just not for the sake of doing it, but for the sake of the storyline. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like I would. How awesome would it be to have like an Uncle Tom character? Just a guy who's like, think about it.
Talking bad about black people.
Like, you remember when Chavo was the Kerwin guy, the golf guy?
Yeah.
Come on, dude. Can you imagine having, like, R-Truth talking, like, you know, wearing a suit, talking bad about African-Americans and, you know, like, just, like, throwing slurs and shit like that? How awesome would that be? And he's talented. So not only can he come out there and cut a promo like a really bad, like, shoot, like, not a shoot, but, like, you know what I'm saying, like, doing a gimmick like that, and then somebody wants to come out and kick his ass, but he's talented. I don't know.
That would be all awesome. I don't know why they feel they couldn't do anything like that.
Because you'll have Jesse Jackson won't show up to the next card, and you'll have Al Sharpton organizing a march afterwards. Because it's that kind of party now, dude. It's, you know, you'll have every activist and every kind of party in every town picketing for. I mean, come on, dude. I was watching something. You know, like you can't do anything anymore. Like you can't say nothing. You can't do anything. It's like people get so offended. They took they took action figures off the shelf in Toys R Us the other day for some Breaking Bad show. Like,
yeah, I read that.
First of all, like, I don't watch the show. I know the premise of the show. I don't watch the show. But my thing is, come on, man. You why would you do? Why would you not police what your kid's playing with?
Exactly. People want public to do the job for them.
I don't get it, man.
Parent for you.
Go ahead. No,
I was just going to say a Mr. Hughes character would be awesome. Yeah.
A white
wrestler with a black bodyguard.
That'd be awesome. And you know what? Like, what if my junkyard dog came with a chain? Is that racist?
Nope.
All right, then. That's what I thought.
That's part of his gimmick.
Of course, that's what you and I would say, but if you tried selling that junkyard dog figure now, they would friggin' riot. And I don't understand. And I'm not really, I know I'm sounding old, but like, come on, man, get with the program. Like, come on,
If Randy Orton came out one day and when he was champion and said the R-Truth, when my dad was champion, he had boys like you carrying his luggage. That would just stop time, wouldn't it?
Of course.
But it would be classic.
It would be classic. I just, again, it baffles me that nothing's fun anymore. Like, I was talking about this with a coworker at work. I was like, nothing's fun anymore. Like, I do this. What's that? Go ahead.
No, I was saying I was watching the Ric Flair JYD promo he did on JYD. You will never be the first black champion against me. Right. That, I mean, nothing wrong with that. You just stating he don't want the man to be champion.
I know if you listen back to our episodes, we interviewed Greg Klein. I mentioned that, the guy who wrote the Junkyard Dog book.
Mm-hmm.
And, JYD was bigger than life, man. And apparently Bill Watts was a racist bastard. But Bill Watts liked money. So Bill Watts, for the sake of the sport, booked a black guy as a champion, an African-American guy as a champion. He booked he made Ernie Ladd the booker.
Yeah.
Like, not because he wanted to stay face, but he wanted to make money. And you know what? It works. Underdogs work. David and Goliath works. Good versus bad still works. You're not fooling anybody, Tony. Nobody's fooled by wrestling anymore. There's no more kayfabe. You know what I'm saying?
And I thought Johnny B. Badd should have beat Sting, though.
Why not?
He had a
look. Why not? He had a look. Just to move the storyline along. You know, yep. Johnny B. Badd was champion a few times. Was he TV or U.S. champion?
Yeah, TV champion.
Wasn't a bad worker. You know?
And that progressed Sting the feud with Cactus Jack, though.
Oh, Beach Blast, right? That was fun. Yep. That was a fun match. I enjoyed that.
And I just appreciate you having the wrestling knowledge to talk about Firebreaker Chip.
Well, I appreciate you coming on a Wednesday night, entertaining me talking about Firebreaker Chip.
Look, Firebreaker Chip was one half of the U.S. Tag Team Champion. Respect is due.
Well, that's going to be the title of our show tonight, Firebreaker Chip.
That's right.
So know it
and love it.
All right, so let's start pulling the train in and start wrapping this bitch up. Like I mentioned, this coming Sunday, October 26th, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, join us live on The Rant right after the What Are You Reading comic book show, which is at 5 o'clock. You join all of us. We're going to come on, and we're going to pre-show the Hell in a Cell. Mega Powers will be in studio with us. It'll be in here in studio with us. And, of course, you have The Rant every Tuesday night. The wrestling call-in show is back on Saturday night. That'll be at least some normalcy now. It will back at the helm because last week was a total debauchery.
It was must-hear radio.
So that was total debauchery. So, ladies and gentlemen, Tony C., thank you so much, man, for hanging out with me tonight. I really appreciate it, brother.
Thanks for having me, man.
Thank you for filling in for Mega Powers again, who, like, apparently not important no more. He's flat leaving me, that bitch ass. So,
and before I leave, I just want to say to Harry and Baza, You guys are always stand up dudes, and I always have my bodyguard, my manager. You guys can always have, you know, a job with me within my organization. I'm always looking for a driver. So,
ladies and gentlemen, we are the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling
and IWO
podcast.
For life.
IWO. The following has been paid for by the IWO, the Ike World Order. Okay. Anyway, ProWrestlingTees.com/Turnbuckle Throwbacks is where you get our 3 shirts. We'll have a 4th one if I decide to throw it up there.
Yes.
Check out the Shining Wizards Network, Midnight Jury, After Midnight, Neckbreaker, Apex Radio. Shout out to Stickman and the old people up in Ottawa today, man. Really tragic shit going on up there. Pro Wrestling 101, Inconclusive Breakdown Podcast, 2.5 Wrestlers, of course, the Shining Wizards, our brothers, Geeks of the Industry, NXT Cast, Bloke Show, Chat Down with Dan and Dan, Nerdport, Right Report, Metal Thunder Radio. I'll be on Tattoos and Touchdowns this Sunday live. I'm more like radio, Mr. Will Sweeney, by the way, filling in for Espo. Ham Radio, Kane's on next week, Wrestling Soup, and Don Tony and Kevin Castle. So, Tony C, thank you so much for hanging out with me tonight.
Appreciate it, brother.
As always, guys, avoid the clap. Don't get arrested. Don't catch Ebola. Be nice to animals. Don't beat your wives up. Don't beat your kids up. Be a good citizen. Thank you, everybody in the chat room, for hanging out with us tonight. We love you all. And
yes,
we will be back next week. Same bat time, same bat channel. Take care, Tony.
Yes, sir.